Friends, good afternoon to you. And what a glorious afternoon. Wow, so beautiful. Hope you've been savoring the day and getting in touch with what Brother Luke was talking about this morning, about deep enjoyment, maybe even play today. What a wonderful day. I'd like to share with you some reflection this afternoon on the shadow grace of disappointment and failure. An Hasidic tale is told of a student who asked the rabbi, "Why does the Torah tell us to place these holy words upon our hearts? Why does it not tell us to place these holy words in our hearts?" The rabbi answered, "It is because as we are, our hearts are closed, and we cannot place the holy words in our hearts. So we place them on top of our hearts, and there they stay until one day the heart breaks and the words fall in." Your heart is going to break. If you don't know this already, I promise you it will happen. And more than once, your heart will break. With the finest of education, good mentoring, a breadth of experience, faithfulness in prayer, and your best efforts, you're not going to pull it off unscathed in your ministry of leadership to us in the church. You will experience disappointment, discouragement, inadequacy, and failure. You may wake up some morning feeling duplicitous because you are so divided. You will probably lose your first love, or at least misplace it. Your compassion will be fatigued beyond measure. You will not be able to explain why this bad thing has happened to this good person or family, and it will just kill you. It will break your heart, and that is so difficult. However, that break may well be what it takes for the living God to break through to you. Not your archival God, but the living God. It's where the paschal mystery will no longer just lodge as a theological formula in your head, but will find a dwelling place in your heart. The paschal mystery, death coming out of life, coming out of death, coming out of life. What we in the church need from you, our clergy and our lay leaders, what we need from you is beyond you. It's more than you've got, as good and gifted as you are. That is the bad news of the good news. You'll remember St. Paul's words in the first letter to the Corinthians, 13th chapter, where he writes about faith hope, and love abiding. Immediately prior to those promises, he confesses his naivete. Remember how he said, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." And that's also true for you. What you have come to know about yourself since those seminary days, since you accepted your call to leadership, God has known all along, and that includes your weaknesses, your own understanding of yourself. Comes out of your being invited into the heart of God, how God has known you all along. You are coming to know yourself as you have been known by God all along. You're called to leadership in the church for the benefit and service of the church and world, to God's glory, and for the working out of your salvation. And there is no other way. St. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, speaks of God's power being made perfect in weakness. St. Paul is not talking about cultivating weakness, but about realizing weakness. None of us came to seminary. None of us was called to ordination and leadership responsibilities because we were weak. Quite to the contrary, we were called to leadership because of our strengths, the strength of our sense of God's calling, confirmed by others, the strength of certain personal qualities and abilities and gifts, the strength of our potential to lead and to learn and to be formed and to form. Even though we were called to leadership because of our strengths, leadership is very exposing. And it will expose not only our strengths, but also most every one of our character flaws and weaknesses, inadequacies and failures, sooner or later, and God knows it, and God knew it. Jesus said to his followers, you'll remember, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And the person whom Jesus chose, whom he called into ministry, is you. Not the person you may think you could be or should be, but the person you were and are. Now, when St. Paul speaks of God's power being made perfect in our weakness, there are two different ways we can hear this. And I'll speak in metaphors. We could hear how God's power being made perfect in weakness is like this microphone. A microphone takes my voice and amplifies it to fill this assembly. The microphone takes an existing quality, my voice box and my language ability, and makes it larger and louder for you to receive it. That's an amplification, making more of something that is already present. But that's not St. Paul's metaphor. A microphone is not the right metaphor. That's not what St. Paul means when he speaks of strength being made perfect out of weakness. That's not it. Rather than the amplification of what is good, this is the transformation of what is broken or unformed or lost in your life. A better metaphor for this transformation of weakness is a pearl, something about which Jesus was obviously familiar. Remember his telling the parable about the merchant in search of fine pearls. You remember, do you remember where pearls come from? You know, pearls. Pearls come from the lowliest of creatures, from a mollusk lost in darkness on the bottom of the sea, and quite tragically, a grain of sand or small pebble will often wound the inner membrane of the mollusk, and the mollusk's attempt to cauterize and encapsulate and heal this inner wound is what produces a pearl. Pearls come from wounds. And so will your greatest gifts. Your ministry will have a regular dose of disappointment and failure, I bet. But if that's all you can say, calling it a disappointment or failure, then I would say you haven't lived with it long enough. It's still too close for you. The wound is not yet cauterized. The bruise is still too tender. But it will heal, probably with some help, and the scar tissue will be stronger than ever. In the vocabulary of the church, this is what we call redemption. And redemption comes with the hidden grace of humility. Redemption is something which could otherwise seem an abject waste or disappointment or failure or loss. And this will be your making or your remaking. And that's why Jesus promises us a new heart, because your old heart will be broken more than once. A new heart, he promises. Jesus has come to save us and to salve us and to salvage us. God is very frugal. God is very frugal, wasting nothing. Some years ago, I was going through a very tough time, and I happened to be visiting a monastery up in Minnesota, and I shared a conversation with a mother superior of a Benedictine community, and she listened to me, and I poured out my heart mostly about disappointment and failure. My own stuff. Mostly my own stuff. But also some of what I'd experienced from others. Very sad. I was very sad. And there were plenty of tears. And then in the ensuing silence, while I just sat there, She suddenly clapped her hands and said, "Stand up!" Well, I just shot up from my chair. And this Mother Superior, who was a good foot taller than me, she came up to me and she grabbed my earlobes. And she pulled my head down into her face. And she said to me, nose to nose, she said, "Curtis, there is not one thing that you've experienced in life, not one suffering that will go unused." She said, "God is going to use it. God will bring people into your life and your ministry, and you will know them, and you will know what they need. None of this is going to be wasted. Jesus is going to use it all." And she would not let go of my earlobes. More tears, but she would not let go of my earlobes until I nodded. Because I knew she was right. And she was right. And that is redemption. And I think it's also true for you. Your breaking will be your making. You remember Jesus saying, "I've come to seek and save the lost." He's speaking to you about your stuff, to seek and to save the lost. That's all your losses, the disappointments, the failures, the overwhelming things whose significance may be lost on you. They are actually pearls waiting to be found and claimed. There's an old Jewish saying, "By your wounds, I will heal you." Did you get that? Not from your wounds. By your wounds, I will heal you. By your wounds, I will heal you. Your strengths will buff the shine of your countenance. But strengths and successes will not necessarily go to the root of why you need a savior. Your disappointments, inadequacies, failures will expose you and will expose you to God's intervening light and life and love. And that's the working out of your salvation. Your strength will be made perfect through your weakness. And that's the grace of redemption. And it will come with a hidden gift of humility, which will give you access and make you a safe harbor to other broken, suffering, lost people who will come to you. And you will know them. There's an old Swedish proverb. In every person there is royalty. Address the royalty, and royalty will respond. May we just pause for a few moments here of silence.